welcome to the weekly podcast of Holy Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Unaltered Augsburg Confession, located in Harrison, Arkansas. If you're not able to be with us on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Bible class and at 10:30 for the Divine Service, or at our Bull Shoals location where Bible class begins at 1:30 in the afternoon on Sundays and the Divine Service at 2:45, but you appreciate the content of our messages, we invite you to consider the congregations with which we're in fellowship by going to the website of the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America. That's www.eldona.org. You can access this website also by going to our congregation's website at holytrinitylc.com. If no congregations of our fellowship are within driving distance, please consult the Evangelical Lutheran Liturgical Congregations locator at lutheranliturgy.org. Our text is the Holy Gospel just read from St. John, the 6th chapter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her, Isaiah calls out. All you who love Christ's church, rejoice and eat what belongs to her, what has come to console her, even the bread of life who has come down from heaven. How odd an intro this seems to be. A call to rejoicing in the midst of our Lenten contemplation and mourning over our sins. Yet recall that it was issued even before the Christ came to live under the law for us. To those who would suffer in exile, the call goes out so that despondency might not set in. Oh, recall your joy, O Jerusalem. Even you who are killer of the prophets, was it not once true that you rejoiced when it was said to you, "Let us go into the house of the Lord"? As you suffer and lament over your sins and what they have wrought, here is the word of refreshment from our gracious Father in heaven. You who have been kept away from receiving my grace, you who have been so encumbered with both the joys and the cares of this world, you whom the devil would choke out like a young plant in the midst of weeds, you who cannot hear the word of God because of anything from sickness to jobs to simple lack of care, for you, the Christ does not wait, but actively comes to you so that you may be fed. Indeed, so rich is his word that you follow him. His word itself is so powerful that it has created faith in you so that you go off after him, often forgetting to count the cost until it is too late, and you are shocked back into the reality of what it means to be living in one nation while citizen of another. The devil and world creep up on you to surprise and destroy you, and even your own flesh leads the rebellion. Here you are as a pilgrim, a sojourner, an alien in this world, and yet your body is so acclimated to it. You have your needs. Your flesh does. It's just simply true. And just as you would be so committed to the Christ and to his gospel, those needs interrupt you and take your eyes off of him. In our gospel, the people needed to eat. And this was no mere feeling of desire from spoiled and overgrown bellies. It was a true need. And soon they would have been grumbling against Jesus for having a word so good that it led them out to where no food could be found. And Jesus knows this, so he plans to provide food for them. First, though, he asks his disciples what they should do. This he does to test them, to see whether or not they've been paying attention, whether they have been duly treasuring the giver or just going along receiving the gifts thoughtlessly. It proves to be the latter. They calculate and cannot find a way to provide food for so many. Yet Jesus had already done exactly what is necessary before this event in John 6. Why had they not reckoned that he could and would do so again? Why did they try to reason away to save the bodies of the crowd and end up despairing? Well, they could have simply recalled his works in other desperate situations. Why do we act so similar to them so much of the time? Because you see, that is, of course, the chief thing for which, or of which, we find ourselves guilty in our Lenten contemplations. We do not trust him as we ought, but try to figure out a way through things without him. How often don't we fail even to begin our considerations without the simple cry of, Lord, help me figure this out. So often the prayer comes only after we've already decided on a course of action that we want him to follow, leading one to wonder who really is the Lord and Father and who is the child and follower. But remember who he is and who you are and what he has promised and how he has promised to be. And thereby this can be overcome by his promise, by his grace. You are not sons of the bondwoman, St. Paul says, but of the free. Don't think like sons of the bondwoman. Don't think that you've been cast out and cast aside and cast away and that you must struggle and strive for yourself. But remember that you are those who are born by the promise. Your very existence is tied up with your having been declared the privileged child of the King. By grace you have been saved. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, as St. Paul says. Thus you may trust in him for all things. Even us sinners, we may so trust, because this is the word of comfort that he brings to you here in the midst of Lent. You who love Jerusalem, you who love Christ's church, you who are so glad to have been given a place within her to receive grace and forgiveness and peace and in Jesus, rejoice and be glad. Contemplation of your sin must always be met with their being taken away from you by the Christ on the cross. For all of your mourning, there is the consolation of the bosom of the church that will satisfy you, namely this, that Christ the Lord has come and saved you, that his death brings you life, that he already knows the solution to every problem that he asks you to face with courage, because his own blood has already defeated the one who seeks to destroy you in these trials. As for our strengthening, it is given us at all times, and especially during Lent, to look at these trials, to look at our sins, to look at what kills us. The law that we cannot fulfill. The law against which we always transgress. The commands of God that always accuse us because we are always sinning. But remember that it is given us to look at what kills us, deprived of its sting, robbed of its venom, by looking to the law fulfiller, the perfect Son of God, hanging on the cross and taking all of God's wrath for us. Since his crucifixion is not always depicted before our eyes, God has had mercy on us and given us that crucifixion to carry around with us always. By making us sharers in that crucifixion in holy baptism. Because in holy baptism, as St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, you have been joined to Christ's crucifixion, and his righteousness and resurrection have been given to you. While the law of God still condemns the actions of your flesh, you now see that the law has been fulfilled for you, so that it cannot harm you. And you remember that in baptism, the cross has been applied to you and God counts you as having fulfilled the law in perfection. How much better this is than just having your worldly concerns taken away. You have all of your eternal concerns satisfied so that all the troubles of this life pale in comparison to what you are about to receive. More, having your sin removed has made you a different person, one who is to receive the Christ reign over you and over the world. You are able to endure trial because you know that your brother rules over all things and that what he does and what he allows is for your ultimate good. The people that Jesus fed in our gospel would have liked him to keep on feeding them, to rule the earth in their favor. But they forgot that God had already tried that with them before. That when God did that for their fathers in the wilderness, they complained about the bread from heaven and rebelled against God. Unless their sin were conquered, they could not rightly receive the Christ reigning over them. No matter how much they thought that they desired it, and their thoughts of forcing him to be their king, that shows that they didn't really want him to reign anyway, but just wanted him to do their bidding, that they should be Lord. Thus they would take him, but he, St. John tells us, departed again into a mountain himself alone. Of course, Jesus' own disciples, as we've already seen, didn't fare much better. Jesus asked Philip where they might acquire food to feed the crowd, but Philip could only answer based on his own human reasoning, making Jesus play by the rules of what men could do, instead of treating him as they ought, as true God. It is the nature of our flesh not to receive Christ on his terms, but on our own, to make him over in our image instead of our being recreated in his. Jesus can neither allow this, nor by his grace does he allow Philip to wallow in this failed test. But instead, he immediately does what no mere man can do, so that his disciples will once again see what Peter will confess before the end of this sixth chapter. When Jesus asks the disciples if they will leave, and he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." That is the proper response to the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. That is the proper recognition of the one who is the true bread from heaven, to eat him, to receive his word and trust in it. Thus Jesus feeds these 5,000 men in a clearly miraculous way. He teaches his disciples what Peter would later proclaim, that Jesus is the one upon whom you can cast your cares because he is always caring for you. Just as the psalmist had said it would be, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." The Lord is who he is. And the Lord cannot be taken, but he gives himself to you. Those are his own terms. The God that none can force, that none can make, that none can overcome, willingly gives himself into death for you at Golgotha, and lovingly gives himself to you at the font, through his word, in his holy supper, so that you have what you could never obtain on your own. The peace that comes only from having him and his forgiveness for all of your sins. Jesus walked up that hill outside of Jerusalem by himself alone, even though he was in the middle of a great crowd. He went to suffer on the cross where none could share his burden. He went to the cross to be abandoned not only by man but by God. But in so doing, he took away the sin that isolated you, that kept you away from God and separated you from one another. He not only made up for what you had done wrong, but he made you completely righteous in the eyes of God. He not only gave you what you have needed so far, but he has righteousness in store to meet all of your future needs as well. He does not need to be taken and made our king by force, but Jesus is the king of all creation and always has been and always will be. And he has graciously made you a citizen of his kingdom by taking away the sin that barred you from entering there. Receive him on his own terms. And those terms are these. He has given himself for you on the cross, and he gives himself to you today, so that you may be his always. No better terms could there be for you. Terms that are not fair but gracious. Utterly despairing of any goodness in yourself, you are declared and made good in his cross alone. Amen. Now the peace of God, which is far beyond any peace our minds could give or even conceive, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the Holy Trinity Podcast. If you're going to be in the Harrison, Arkansas area, our Bible class begins at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, followed by the Divine Service at 10:30. We also meet at 1:30 in Bull Shoals, Arkansas. For maps and directions to both locations, please consult our website, holytrinitylc.com. If you're not going to be in our area but would like to go to a congregation that preaches and teaches as we do, please see the website of the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America at eldona.org. Our Lord grant you a truly blessed week.